My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. Longtime listeners will know she has been a frequent guest in evaluating all the different twists and turns of the debate over the president's new healthcare law, both during the time it was debated as a bill and now during its implementation. The issue came up several times during the first Republican presidential debate for the 2016 cycle, with perhaps the most memorable encounter coming with this question from Bret Baier to frontrunner Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump, Obamacare is one of the things you call a disaster.
Complete disaster, yes.
Saying it needs to be repealed and replaced.
Correct.
Now, 15 years ago, you called yourself a liberal on health care. You were for a single-payer system, a Canadian-style system. Why were you for that then, and why aren't you for it now?
As far as single-payer, it works in Canada. It works incredibly well in Scotland. It could have worked in a different age, which is the age you're talking about here. What I'd like to see is a private system without the artificial lines around every state. I have a big company with thousands and thousands of employees, and if I'm negotiating in New York or in New Jersey or in California, I have like one bidder. Nobody can bid. You know why? Because the insurance companies are making a fortune because they have control of the politicians, of course, with the exception of the politicians of the stage. But they have total control of the politicians. They're making a fortune. Get rid of the artificial lines and you will have yourself great plans.
Grace Marie, he's essentially saying that right around the turn of the century, single payer was working in Canada, was working in Scotland, and I guess had it been implemented at the time, would have worked fairly well in this country. Americans probably aren't up to speed too much on the system in Canada and in Scotland. How accurate is he about the success or lack thereof of single payer in those countries?
Well, he's completely wrong from a policy perspective, and I think shows the lack of real depth to his policy positions. But there really are different systems. The Canadian system is a single-payer system. The government is the payer, both the provinces and the federal government, for all healthcare services. And in Scotland, it is a really socialized medicine in which the government basically owns hospitals and employs physicians. So they're two different systems. And he's basically saying that either one of them would have worked better and could have worked in this country in the year 2000, which is, you know, relatively recently. And I don't know how much has changed in this sense that we might have been able to have done socialized medicine in the year 2000. I think not. But when you look at, you know, when you look at Donald Trump, here is this billionaire who's saying that the system works well. Well, it probably would work very well for him because he would be able to go wherever he wanted and pay for his own care privately. But for individual citizens, that's not true. In Canada or in Scotland, either one, you face long wait times unless you can escape and go someplace else for your care. If you are stuck in those systems, you are trapped in either one of them, in systems in which if you need care, you get in the queue and you will wait weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years to get the care that you need. Donald Trump wouldn't experience that, but ordinary citizens of those countries do today.
Grace Marie, it's not just Trump potentially that's had a change of heart or a change of opinion about critical aspects of the best way to reform the healthcare system. Of course, back during the time that the Clinton administration was considering major changes to the system, even the Heritage Foundation was in favor of the idea of an individual mandate, although in a very different form than ended up in the president's healthcare law. But nonetheless, they had a position in favor of the individual mandate then that obviously changed over time. He is suggesting that his opinion was in reference to that particular time. So is it fair to let one person or institution make a dramatic change in their position as opposed to a political candidate like Mr. Trump in this case?
The Heritage Foundation did promote a health plan in the late 80s, early 90s that would have included an individual mandate. It would have still been a private system, but it would have required everybody to purchase health insurance. The Heritage has since strongly repudiated that and has basically said, we no longer think that. Many of us told them at the time of the consequences and what would happen, but that you know, that's water under the bridge. Heritage has repudiated that, and that even still is very different from saying that we should have either socialized medicine or a single-payer system. But in the 1990s, just for example, in Canada, there's a wonderful think tank in Canada, the Fraser Institute, keeps track of wait times for medical care in the country. And in 1993, there was about a 9-week wait for surgery, for treatment. If you got in the queue, you're going to wait, 2.5 months until you got care. By today, it's now 18 weeks on average. So it's doubled in those, 22 years. But if they're even worse for what we call elective surgeries, like hip, knee, or back surgery, that wait, 42 weeks, 10 months. Neurosurgery, 31 weeks. So in that time, it's gotten worse. The wait times have gotten worse in Canada. If a hospital reaches its budget the 1st of December, it will close for the rest of the year. So if you had a surgery scheduled for the 10th of December, you're going to have to get back in the queue. That's how it works in systems in which there's a single payer, the government runs it. And that is not something I think that Americans would have tolerated then, would have tolerated in the year 2000, as Mr. Trump says, or wouldn't tolerate now. And it's the same is true in Scotland. Ulrich Roy, who is the opinion editor at Forbes, looked at, for example, the cancer survival rates in Scotland compared to the United States. The U.S. not only performed better than every country in Western Europe that has socialized medicine or single-payer systems, it has performed certainly better than Scotland. If you look at the 5-year survival rates of various cancers in Scotland as opposed to the United States. Let's take prostate cancer, for example. If you get prostate cancer in the United States, you have at least a 50% chance that you're going to survive for 5 years. In Scotland, less than 10%. Breast cancer for women, you have an 83% chance of surviving in the United States, only 70% chance in Scotland. And part of that is early diagnosis, early access to treatment. What do we know about treating cancer? The sooner you diagnose it and start to treat it, the better. If you have long wait times, then that's certainly going to diminish your chances of survival. And that's exactly what this data shows.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Grace Marie, as I mentioned earlier, the latter part of his response basically talked about trying to remove state boundary as barriers, being able to shop for health insurance across state lines. That's been a staple of Republican efforts to reform Obamacare or even their alternative health care plan back when the debate was going on. He didn't have time or didn't add on with any other ideas for how he would change the current system. How big of a difference would that make? Because basically from his comments in the debate, it sounds like he thinks if you are able to shop for health insurance across state lines, you get yourself much better plans, and that would solve a ton of the problems.
Well, one of the things about Mr. Trump is that I think he doesn't even understand the health policies of his own company, much less for the country as a whole. Because as a large company, he can self-insure his employees, and therefore he is under a provision of law called ERISA that allows him to basically operate as one health plan. He doesn't have to have individual negotiations with individual states. And so he already has, as a major employer, as do tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other major employers in this country, basically operated exactly the way he's describing that we should. Yes, other people should have the option to shop around to other states. That's certainly something that conservatives have been promoting for a long time as part of the freedom agenda to make sure that people can make their own choices about the kind of coverage they want rather than being in this Obamacare cookie cutter plan. But Trump didn't even understand that companies like his have exactly now what he is saying we want, which is the ability to have the same plan whether you have employees in New York or New Jersey or California.
Final thoughts, Grace Marie? Does he just need to study up more, or does he just shoot from the hip here? What do you think?
I don't think anybody's going to tell Donald Trump what to do. And he doesn't seem to be as interested as other candidates are in really delving into the complexities of policy. When you start to make these wide, sweeping pronouncements, if a president of the United States has the decisions they make have consequences for every American. And for him to make these sweeping pronouncements that really are ignorant because he doesn't understand even what's happening now, then you really do have to worry about whether or not he's going to be able to understand the sophistication of the changes and impact those policies are going to have for others down the road. So it is very important to understand policy and to be able to anticipate the effects of the policy decisions that you are making. And for him to not really seem to care very much about those policy details worries me, because then you really are you're approaching problems with a hatchet rather than a scalpel. We have to be very careful, and it's really one of my complaints about Obamacare, is that they tried to do too much, too fast, clumsily, which is why we've had to have now 54 major changes to the law, and we're not done yet, to just be able to barely make it work. And for him to say that we can sort of sweeping way, make major policy decisions without understanding where we are now and what those implications would be, would definitely worry me.
Grace Marie, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.